News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
That was not really an interruption because Kane was basically done with his traffic, at least the file he sent us. That's where it ended. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig. Turning up your voice this hour. Some folks said they wanted to give us a call. Feel free, 343-0106.
A busy week for Governor Kay Ivey. And, you know, the Safer at Home order set to expire March 5th. We're expecting an announcement here in the next couple of days from the governor and Dr. Scott Harris. But yesterday, Governor Ivey bucking cancel culture and reading a Dr. Seuss book to the school children of Alabama. Here's a taste of that.
You have brains in your head and feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose.
So there's Governor Ivey singing the first line of reading the first line of Oh, the Places You'll Go.
She didn't hear about the cancellation of Dr. Seuss. Was that one of the six books canceled?
That was not.
Okay.
No, now, that would have been brazen if she would have read one of those.
Right.
But I think Governor Ivey was fully aware that six Dr. Seuss books now have been pulled from publication.
Ridiculous.
From the Dr. Seuss publishing company. But, you know, yesterday was American Reading Day or something, Read Across America Day, that's right. And the story we had yesterday morning was that Dr. Seuss has been pulled from a lot of curriculum because of some racist imagery in some of the books from the past. Mm. But Governor Ivey, I believe, intentionally yesterday read Dr. Seuss to kind of prove a point. But more importantly, mask mandate and the rest of the order, Safer at Home order, expires on Friday. And Governor Ivey is, I think, in a tough spot here. What will she decide to do? Will she follow the direction from local hospitals, from Alabama hospitals, who are encouraging the governor to continue with the mandate, or follow the cue from a couple other states? Yesterday, Governor Tate Reeves from Mississippi announced that, starting today?
Today, yeah. So that was quick. I mean, yesterday, announcing that, hey, we're going to lift the mandates, and not just we're not going to wait on it, we're going to do it tomorrow. So when you wake up today in Mississippi, I guess everything's wide open.
Restaurants wide open, businesses wide open, and no more masks in Mississippi. And then Texas Governor Greg Abbott did the same yesterday. Now, theirs will start on March 10th, or I should say theirs will end on March 10th. Here's the governor of Texas yesterday.
It is now time to open Texas 100%.
So that was Texas Governor Greg Abbott making that announcement yesterday. And those are the first two states to fully lift restrictions. I know some of the north, middle American states have kind of really rolled a lot of things back.
South Dakota.
Yeah, South Dakota.
I think, North
Dakota,
Iowa.
Iowa. But I don't believe they have fully lifted the mask mandate or the complete capacity
occupancy,
restrictions.
Like, yeah,
occupancy from businesses. But
yeah,
you see Texas and Mississippi open, and then you have to wonder, what will Governor Kay Ivey decide to do either today or tomorrow? She's expected to make her decision. Now, there was a number of media companies that talked with, or at least spoke with Governor Ivey's spokesperson this week and kind of asked, you know, what's the plan? What will Governor Ivey do? And I'm not sure if Ivey spokeswoman Gina Mayola maybe tipped the governor's hand when she replied to these members of the media. She said, all along, Governor Ivey has made clear that she prefers personal responsibility to government mandates, and then said, we are optimistic that our state is heading in the right direction, and we still have some work to be done. So you hear the first half of that statement where she said, Governor Ivey's made clear she prefers personal responsibility to government mandates. I think if she had ended there, we'd all be saying, oh, it looks like she's going to lift it all, mm-hmm, just like Mississippi and Texas. But it's that second half of the sentence there. She says, we're optimistic that our state is heading in the right direction, and we still have some work to be done. That would lead you to believe that they'll, you know, continue the order until maybe we reach herd immunity in Alabama.
If I was betting, we talked about this earlier, mm-hmm, if I was betting on that, if I'd only heard the first sentence, I'm with you. I would put my money down that we're going to go along like Mississippi or close to. But when I hear the second part of that, also the fact that I think that in some way that the mandates will continue. Governor Ivey also does this side by side with our state health director.
Right.
So obviously, and I'm not saying that in Texas and or Mississippi that their state health offices weren't, you know, a big part of the decision. I don't know if it was or wasn't. I would assume that it was. But with KIV meeting everybody, it would kind of, Dr. Scott Harris would have to be in front of an audience kind of signing off on that, saying, yep, that's what I believe, when many of the people who are talking science, including the director of the Centers for Disease Control, said, mm-hmm. not yet,
right.
not the time.
Yeah, and you also had President Biden yesterday with some good news. He said with the increase in vaccine doses from Johnson & Johnson, and now that pharmaceutical company teaming up with another in Merck & Company, President Biden said we should have enough vaccines by the end of May to vaccinate every single American adult. Here's Biden.
We're now on track to have enough vaccine supply for every adult in America by the end of May.
So, you know, it's a tough decision to be made. If we really will have enough for every American by the end of May, that is March, April, May. That's 3 months away, the end of May. Should we carry on the way we have for the last year? You know, mm-hmm. light at the end of the tunnel, I think you had Biden saying yesterday. Should we carry on? We're so close, if enough people get vaccinated. Or the way the numbers have fallen, and I've got the numbers
are we so close or are we there?
Great question. Yeah, are we there?
Because, again, the herd immunity question that was raised by the gentleman from Johns Hopkins mm-hmm. that wrote the piece in the Wall Street Journal, which is coming up on 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
he was saying we're probably a lot further closer to herd immunity, 55-65%, than we even know right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, are we going to find out in 1 month's time, for instance, if we continue what we're doing, but Texas and Mississippi do what they're about to do, in 2 weeks we'll kind of know, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much the way it shows itself. And if we are closer to herd immunity, maybe in 2 weeks we find out, hey, everything's fine.
Yeah, I think you said it this morning, Texas and Mississippi will be a good test case. Maybe Alabama will join them in mm-hmm. being the test case here. And numbers have dropped, not just in Alabama, but across most of the nation. And while we've had a few warm days here lately in our neck of the woods, there's still a lot of America that has seen some really cold weather while cases are dropping. And remember, everyone going inside in some of these other states where it's cold, really cold, and you don't want to be outside, that was partially blamed for the increase in the number of cases and then hospitalizations and then deaths. Well, if numbers are dropping while it's still cold in a lot of places and still a lot of people packed inside, are those numbers dropping because of herd immunity or are they dropping because maybe people have been taking it more seriously, the social distancing, staying away from others? You look at Alabama's numbers and, I mean, they're outstanding. Of course, we'd love to see everything down to zero, but from yesterday, they our 7-day average, 778 new cases in the state over the last week per day. That's the lowest we've seen since late June of 2020. I mean, we're talking almost a year ago that we saw levels this low. It's even lower than our first peak that we had back in July of last year. And then confirmed hospitalizations. As of yesterday, according to Bama Tracker, there are 631 hospitalized with COVID-19. And that is the lowest we've seen since mid-June of 2020.
Huge.
Lower than that first peak. The numbers are dropping. Will Governor Ivey say, let's follow through with this? I agree with you, Dan. I think, and if I had to put money on one or the other, I'd pick both. I think that she's going to open businesses a little wider here over these next couple of days, but keep the mask mandate, at least for maybe public opinion. Maybe she doesn't want to get hammered mm-hmm. like we're seeing Texas and Mississippi now, but I guess we'll find out either today or tomorrow.
And it's apples and oranges, too. When you talk about, even in the state of New York, New York City is one thing. Out in the sticks, way upstate, mm-hmm. not that far from New York, you can get into areas that have got tiny population.
Yeah, and we have that, our poll question now. Will Governor Ivey extend the mask mandate? FMTalk1065.com and on our Facebook page. We'd also love for you to text us or give us a call what you think the governor will do.
Looks like people are calling, including Ricky.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to him and your calls after the break right now. It's 8:15 FM Talk 1065. FM Talk 1065 going to the text line. Chuck says, what happened to all the cases that we were expecting after Mardi Gras? Well, I think the fact is, what were there, 1,700 people downtown estimated, and that's not Mardi Gras.
Remember, it was a freezing Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we really didn't have the test case of Mardi Gras Mobile. We just, I mean,
you know, it's still a great question. If there had been 10,000 people out there, I mean, I'm sure maybe somebody would have gotten it from there, but are we beginning to see the start of herd immunity? The way these cases have been dropping and the number of people who have already had the virus, I think that's a question that needs to be asked.
Chuck also says that the governor follows the herd. She will drop all restrictions. Some other states had to man up before she would she would do the same. Okay, I got you. He's using some nicknames of the governor. We know what they are.
What, Meemaw?
That's the one. When the mask mandate is lifted, you can still wear a mask or two or three if you want. Man, that's a good point. I mean, you know, if you, of course, you're wearing the mask. Haven't we learned that the mask is to protect others?
Yeah.
Us, from our droplets ending up in your system?
Those graphics they always show with four stages of two different people, two strangers. One's wearing a mask, or neither wearing a mask. They're saying, ooh, COVID. One wearing a mask, they're saying, maybe COVID. Both wearing a mask, they say,
no COVID.
No COVID. And I don't know how accurate that is, but I haven't, you know, it's been a year now. And I, maybe you can call me Governor Meemaw. I'm kind of a go-along, get-along guy, unless I'm crossed. And wearing the mask just has not been a big issue for me. Now, I wear the gaiter that you put around your neck.
Which they say is no good, right?
They say it's no good.
So I finally changed because of the haranguing from Sean Sullivan, who also, you know, authorizes my paycheck. So I'm like, yeah, this guy's on my back about something, but he keeps telling me about the gaiter is not the way to go.
Yeah.
So anyway, now I'm back to the cloth. Oh no, the blue mask that I bought at Publix.
Yeah. So when I go to the daycare and pick up my kids, I'll throw the mask on. I don't want to be the pariah there. When I go to a store, I'll put a mask on. Mm-hmm. You know, if I go somewhere and no one's wearing a mask, like my hometown, where I went a certain place in my hometown a few weeks ago, no one was wearing a mask, had the gaiter around my neck, I just didn't pull it up. Mm-hmm. It was that easy. So for me, it's not a major issue, and I haven't been told to put on a mask yet. Has anyone out there been, like, led out of a store or told you can't do something because you're not wearing a mask? I'd love to hear from you.
I've been led out of a store just because I'm me.
Yeah, just because you're you.
Sean Sullivan is here.
Let's be accurate here.
Go ahead, Sean.
Let's be accurate here. Okay, so what I said is, I said, just don't wear a mask if you want to. But the gaiter has been shown to be less effective. It wasn't that you had to wear any other mask. It was you're fooling yourself by wearing the bandito.
But they look so
cool. And, like, you know, everybody goes fishing with me, wears those things. They drive me crazy. But that's, if you want to do for fashion, cover your face for fashion, Dan, that's fine. But just don't, I'd rather you just not wear one than fool yourself that you're doing something with that mask. That's all I was saying. Yeah. There's no mask mandate here.
In and around town, I'm known as the one amigo because of the bandito and or the gator. By the way, you'll need your headsets for this next caller. Ricky is on the line right now on FM Talk 106.5. Good morning, Ricky.
Well, when the truth finally comes out that there is no such thing as COVID-19 in the mask, never can't stop a flu bug. What makes you think you can stop COVID-19? Scientists does not back up the mask. Do not stop an airborne virus. Your colds, most of your colds come through your eyes, and it's airborne, so masks don't do any good. And all these masks are doing it but killing your children, making kids commit suicide from being locked up from the lockdowns, and killing people and isolating old people and killing them. I can't believe y'all laughing at this like it's not a big deal. The mask is nothing but a communist takedown of our country and our rights and our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And y'all walk on them like they ain't nothing. The government, Ivy, can't give us permission not to wear a mask because she don't have the permit or the law to make us wear one to begin with.
Ricky, have you worn a mask since this began? Have you worn a mask yet?
No.
Have you been arrested?
Huh?
Have you been arrested?
I've been told I can't come in a certain store without a mask. I just left.
What store?
Fresh Market.
Okay. But
Ricky, give me a second here. You do a lot of Fresh Market. What's your favorite Fresh Market? You in there for the sushi?
Everything in there.
Mm. You like that sushi? The sushi pretty
man,
good.
Man, it's everything in there. That's the rich people's place. I've been knowing about that. It's a little secret in Mobile. That's the best place in the world.
That is a little secret.
Fresh Market fan, Ricky.
Has the mask killed anyone, Ricky?
No, I was in the military. I had to do 640 orders. I had to go through training with gas mask and all that. The colds are, look, by the way, there's no flu season this year. Y'all notice there's no flu cases nowhere this
year. Because of the
masks. My whole family. Hey, Ricky, stop for a second. Flag on the play. Okay. Everybody in my house got the flu. My wife and my two children got the flu.
Right.
But so the flu is around.
Yeah, so
the
it's
flu.
A thing.
I know. I'm saying by the cases, they're not keeping it. Like the UK, there's no cases of, you look around all the different countries, of flu season is like, it didn't even happen. It's so minute. Because of COVID.
Because people were wearing masks. They were wearing masks and not spreading it.
If we go back to 2019, September 2019, when we couldn't pay our bill to China, we defaulted. That's why we have a virus. That's why we have a lockdown, because the money supply was running out. The debt market and credit market was crashing. That's why they planned this, because they couldn't keep up with the money flow like the plumbing in your house with the water. They couldn't keep the flow of the money going. They was doing the helicopter drops, everything in 2019. We defaulted. We couldn't pay it. So they hit us with a virus to shut everything down. The doctors, people going to get surgery, the courts, all that shut down because they don't have the money to do it. The dollar really is dead, and it died in 2001.
Just to take a breath. Hang on 1 second, Ricky. You've convinced me. Now, but I've got to say this. You were on a rant close to this pre-Super Bowl. We were running up against a break, as we say in radio, and I said to you were on your way to Tallahassee to get away from, and I said, quickly, what's your pick on the Super Bowl? And you said,
Tampa Bay.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
So
in the midst of all this terrible, confusing time, you had the wherewithal to break down who was going to win the Super Bowl, and you nailed it.
Yeah.
No, you could go get Tom Brady in that one. I mean, that was easy.
So you've been right before, Ricky. And
I agree with you on the fresh market.
And we've been talking vaccines, of course, and you do not like the vaccine. Do you know anyone personally who's gotten the vaccine yet?
No, I haven't. That's strange, too. But all my people are Christian people and believe. Look, 6% of the population are not taking no vaccine or wearing a mask. They're not
Christian people. Christian people. So my family members, devout Christians, have gotten the vaccine. They're not real Christians.
No, I'm talking about people that really know that there is no virus God. There is no
virus God.
The virus that we have to bow down to that God can't heal, Sean. If you bow down to the virus God, then you're in sin, because we live under the power of the Holy Spirit and God. There's no virus that can come in my temple. Holy Spirit filled person like me cannot be killed by a virus. God determines who will die and when you will die, and I don't care how many vaccines you take. When God says you're gone, you're gone. You can't cheat God out of death. You don't control God. And that's what this virus God has done. And they're using it as a scare tactic to take down our country, because we went bankrupt. We all know we bankrupt. 2001, that's why Texas is wide open. The people that are behind Texas know they're going to succeed. From the union, so is Alabama, succeed. So is a lot of states behind the scenes right now. They're not going along with the reset.
Can I have one last? I mean,
sure.
Do you like the produce selection more at Fresh Market than the meat selection? Which ones?
It's all real.
Good question.
It is good.
It's not no fake stuff in there. All their groceries are real. They got vitamins. They're not.
Also, Ricky quoted Herschel Walker in there in that rant. My body is a temple. Herschel would say that during his 1,000 push-up regiment. A fact well known in the state of Georgia.
Good call.
830 at FM Talk 106.5.
836 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now it's time to talk with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great. And weather looking a lot better from here on out this week after a bunch of rain yesterday. Good time to get out to the lot at McConnell.
That's right. It's a great time, man. We've got some stuff done on the GM side. We've got on 20 Encores, you can save up to $8,000 on a 20 Encore. I think that gets that thing starting down to about 17.8 on a brand new 20 Encore. 20 Envisions saved up to $10,000, which to get those to about 23.8. I mean, that's just unheard of deals. Also, on a 21 Acadia, they're starting off at $28,995, and a 21 Terrain starting off at $24,990. So we've got the great deals going on the new car side. We've got used cars. I want to thank everybody for coming in over the weekend. Last weekend, man, we got some great trades, got some great trucks sitting here. Got them online. Y'all can check all those out at McConnellAutomotive.com. And don't forget, we will buy your car if you want to get rid of it.
Good.
Bob June and I with the VIN number and the miles, 251-476-4141, and we'll give you a price right over the telephone.
All right. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That is Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Jeff Poor with the Jeff Poor Show. Of course, he's going to be on the way here real soon. He will talk to us. Well, we'll figure it out. We might talk to him about the mandate and the governor's announcement that'll be coming. Do we know when that, what day is that going to be? Do we know it's today or tomorrow? Or
yeah, and, you know, we've had so many of these press conferences now from Governor Ivey and Dr. Scott Harris that we kind of know when to start looking. And with the last order set to expire on Friday, I think it's a pretty sure thing that we'll hear from the governor either today or tomorrow. But, you know, I do think that Mississippi and Texas, maybe if she wasn't planning on lifting the mask mandate, might have put a little more pressure on the governor yesterday.
I agree.
By lifting their mask mandates. But then you still have the hospitals in Alabama saying, you know, we need to continue on this path and that we're almost out of it. No need to kind of turn around now.
Yeah, that's basically, in large part, the medical community is saying, let's keep on doing what we're doing. The Hospital Association here in the state of Alabama, and you would think that would have some sway in what she's got to say.
Yeah, and you know, yesterday I, after the show, went back to my office, had a voicemail, checked it out. It was a very sweet woman who calls me on occasion, and she said, you know, could you and Dan look into why, she said, my husband and I have both received the vaccine, and we've been, you know, playing by the rules since the pandemic began. We've been doing what we're supposed to do. Why, now that we've both received the full dosage of the vaccines, why aren't we allowed to be normal again? Why do we have to wear masks? Why can't we gather in certain situations? And I didn't have...
I don't have the answer.
A real answer for yesterday because, you know, for me, this has been, for so many Americans, and it's been, you know, necessary in a lot of ways, but for so many elderly Americans that have just been... I mean, I'm thinking of the people that have been in nursing homes and have not been able to see their family.
Terrible.
Haven't been able to see, you know, lifelong friends. And it's all in the name of not catching COVID-19. You finally roll the vaccine out there. And so many of our elderly Americans have gotten the vaccine. So many that live in nursing homes are as protected as they possibly can be right now. How could you continue to tell those people that they aren't allowed to live a little bit more of their life?
That's a great question. We need to get into that.
And the CDC, they did come out with, or they're planning on coming out with new guidelines. They say as soon as tomorrow on what, in the words of the CDC, what vaccinated Americans are allowed to do. Allowed.
Okay.
Which I do have a problem with.
The word allowed
to do, and that the CDC is, you know, telling us what we can or can't do. But they basically said, you know, if you've been vaccinated, you can gather indoors without masks with other people that have been vaccinated.
Okay. All right. So then you're still in quarantine with other people.
Yeah.
All right. Also, yesterday, oddsmaker Danny Sheridan was a guest on Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile, and they talked about gambling in the state of Alabama. And Danny says he's not a fan of the current Dale Marsh bill right now. Just the way the bill is constructed.
And the present bill, it prevents competition. And to me, it's anti-American. Competition for casinos, competition for sports betting. And competition brings more money to the state and a better program, or better, I should say, when I say program, a better operation.
He thinks the voters should be able to decide on the gaming options one by one, separately, not all lumped together.
It's just not fair to lump them all three together. And if they're so wonderful, put them all three separately. Let the people decide on a lottery. But don't put a gun to their head and say, you don't vote for a lottery, which again, 70-75% of the people are for. If you don't vote for a lottery, then we're not going to have casinos or sports betting. That's not right.
You can listen to the entire interview. You can download the Midday Mobile podcast at fmtalk1065.com.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad that after the morning show, I listen to the station all day.
Me too.
Especially during the Jeff Poor Show and Midday Mobile, where like yesterday, you had Senator Tuberville on the Jeff Poor Show, and then Sean had Danny Sheridan on to talk this gambling bill, and I've had my opinions on a number of things changed just by listening to, you know, both sides of the conversation. And I've got to tell you, when this gambling bill came out from Senator Marsh, my first thought was about time. Like, let's get this done, because we're falling behind to a lot of other states. We could be making money right now, spending them on roads, and the same people that right now are crossing state lines or gambling through offshore sports books, playing lottery in other states, whatever, that money is being spent by Alabamians.
Right.
Why not spend it here at home? So my first instinct was, yeah, let's get this through. Let's let Alabama vote on it. If Alabama doesn't want it, then so be it. But at least give us the opportunity to vote. Now, after listening to people like Danny Sheridan and listening to some of the arguments on the Jeff Poor Show and on Midday Mobile, I'm thinking this is a bad deal, the more I hear about it. Because, I mean, listen to the podcast with Danny Sheridan yesterday. You can check it out, fmtalk1065.com. He provides a lot of great reasons for why we should not take this deal. Now, he thinks that this should be split into three separate votes.
Right.
One on lottery, one on casino gaming, and one on sports gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that Alabamians want the lottery, so they're trying to push through casino gaming and sports gaming at the same time. Well, the deal that's been talked about, I think Danny yesterday kept saying $30 million over 10 years. That'd be $3 million a year that basically the Porch Band of Creek Indians would be paying for, you know, what basically amounts to a monopoly alongside a lot of these former dog tracks and gaming halls.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Danny Sheridan, who knows a lot of people in the casino business over his years in that business, he said, I know people that would pay triple that. And why are these specific locations chosen around the state? Wouldn't the casinos, if casinos and private companies that run these casinos were allowed to choose where the casinos go, they wouldn't put them in a bad place, right? They'd put them where they would make the most money for them.
Sure, you would have the. I mean, if it was given the opportunity, those casinos, those people in the casino business that obviously understand how to run, market, and where to place their casino, and how to make the most money, they would certainly, you know, they wouldn't allow you to just say, okay, you can only be here in the woods in Northwest Alabama. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You never do that. So, yeah, I think that the focus has shifted to, wait a second now, this really looks like it's a power play for the few at the top.
Mm-hmm. In some ways, it's similar to the I-10 River Bridge project, where they said, listen, we'll give you your bridge. There's going to be a large toll on it. A lot of people here said, no, we're not paying that toll, and pushed back. Will Alabama push back and say, we want this on the ballot, but we don't like the deal?
Yeah, you're right. More and more, a lot of Alabamians are not liking the deal. We'll talk to Jeff Poor about that next. FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, 850. A lot of things going on in Goat Hill right now, and maybe about to go on. God knows a whole lot about that. His show is on the way, beginning a little after 9 o'clock. Jeff Poor, The Jeff Poor Show. Morning, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing great. You missed Ricky.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad.
And anyway, here we go. A lot to talk about.
Yeah, of course, a lot to talk about. And, you know, yesterday, what we were just talking about last segment, Danny Sheridan, famous odds maker from right here in Alabama, he was talking about the gaming bill with Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile. And he is he's pro-gaming in Alabama, but against this particular bill. One of the things he said was that this should be split into three separate votes: lottery, casino, and sports gaming. What were your thoughts? I know you listened to that interview yesterday. What were your thoughts on the Sheridan interview?
Danny Sheridan's plan would be fine, but do you not think that they haven't thought about this already? Here's the problem, and a lot of people don't get this, and I don't understand it's complicated, but we've talked about it a lot. But you have entities with bargaining leverage over the state of Alabama. For example, what's held back a lottery in the past is the legacy dog track casinos. Why has that held it back in the past? It's real simple. They know that if we okay a lottery is class 3 gaming technically. It is gambling. Gambling is now prohibited according to the Alabama Constitution. And if we change the Constitution to allow gambling, which is going to buy a lottery ticket, a scratch-off, Powerball, whatever it is, then, by virtue of that, the Porch Creek Indians, who are governed by federal law, they do what they do based on federal law, not on state law. Federal law says they can have whatever the state has, legal gaming, legal gambling. So guess what they're going to do? They can institute their own lottery, but that definition of a lottery is very loosely defined. They can have slot machines, electronic lottery, which is essentially a slot machine. And all of a sudden, these legacy dog track casinos that don't have that, they can't compete. They likely go away or go out of business or have their bottom line hurt in a significant way. Therefore, they're not going to go along with the lottery. So you see how this becomes very complicated. It's all tied together because you have two jurisdictions governing it. So the Danny Sheridan plan, while it would be like, yeah, let's just have a casino in every congressional district, you'll never get there. For number one, because the legislature, first off, to change the Constitution of Alabama, you have to get 3/5 of both chambers, a House and a Senate, to agree to vote for it. And you need every vote you could get. You always have a constituency within that both chambers that is just anti-gambling no matter what. They think it's immoral, unethical. They have their reasons. That's fine. You got to overcome that. So you need some of these Democrats to come along. The Democrats are united around Greene County and Macon County, those two delegations. They're not going to go with Republicans unless they can protect their own interest. So you see, if you don't get to where you can protect what is existing right now, you're not going to get the votes. If you don't get the votes, you don't get gambling. All Senator Marsh has done is said, okay, let's give these guys with bargaining leverage over the state in a room together and say, what will it take for you to support this and get you to support this so we could just have it? And they came up with a framework in that, and that's where we are right now. It's horrible, but it may be the only option politically.
So, just to be clear, the dog tracks are really a jobs issue in those areas. It's all about jobs.
Absolutely. Well, and the taxes for the local economy, for the schools, for public works. These places are places where there's not a lot of economic activity going on. And these are seen as a lifeline so they can operate their government. It's not a good way to do it. It's bad government. It's bad government financing, but it is what it is. It exists, and it has existed for 20 years. And as long as you're going to threaten that interest and you're going to threaten those entities, then you're going to run into this roadblock every single time.
So you said these groups hold leverage over the Alabama government. Do you think that the way this bill is being presented right now, did we squeeze enough juice out of the orange here? Could the state make more money by signing these contracts than they are right now? Like some of the people that are upset with how this deal has been presented and feels that Alabama could do a lot better, make a much better deal and get paid a lot more money. How would we go about that? Or do they just kind of have us where they want us right now?
They have us where they want us, but that's the thing with the Porch Creek Indians. They don't really, what do they stand to gain here? They're making money, and if you institute a lottery, they're still making money. They do their own thing, but they could come to the state and say, hey, you know what? You throw this in, and we'll make you even more money. And not to sound like I'm not pro Porch Creek or any of that. But they have a unique position. They have a unique position with leverage over the state of Alabama. Because it's not even, they can agree to this or not agree to this. But if Alabama throws in some kind of sweetener, and then they will pay taxes to Alabama, they will pay more money to Alabama, and that's the way they can get there. Otherwise, you're kind of left empty-handed if you don't throw in something for them.
Well, Jeff, I've been listening to you. You seem to be the most informed about this bill that's been presented by Senator Del Marsh. So I encourage people that are interested in this to read what Jeff's writing and also check out the show that comes on in just a few minutes. Let's talk about the mask mandate. Texas, Mississippi, they're opening up. They're doing away with the mandate. Governor Ivey expected to make her announcement over these next couple of days. What are you seeing? Which way is the wind blowing with Governor Ivey?
I think she extends it. That may be kind of against what's going on around the country right now. I know Texas and Mississippi have just ended theirs. But when Georgia and Florida, Ivy stuck to her guns, and listening to Scott Harris, the state health officer on Alabama Public Television on Friday night, indicated it was his preference to keep the mask mandate in place, at least till they could get some more of the vaccine out. I can see, if not just the continuation of what we have, that's maybe you do something halfway. I don't know what that might be. Mm-hmm. You have to wear the mask in certain places, but I think there will be some kind of an extension.
Yeah, I think Dalton and I are in agreement as we try and figure out what's next. Does the current order, Dalton, allow for some concessions where you can, you know, relieve some of the mandates and at the same time keep up with the mask, so it's a little this and a little that?
Yeah, because there's still an occupancy limit, right, Jeff, on a lot of businesses, a lot of restaurants, still technically an occupancy limit, and the mask mandate's in effect. So my just gut feeling is that mask mandate will carry on, and she maybe loosens the rein a little bit on some of these restaurants.
I think maybe that would be the case. I could certainly see that. I just don't see going, okay, it's over, we're going back to normal. Mm-hmm. That sort of declaration, kind of like what Texas had done.
Okay, and again, with Scott Harris always by her side at these announcements, pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. He's in the room there.
Yeah.
So, it's usually a dual proclamation. I think you're probably right about that. So, Jeff, again, what are the highlights of your show on the way?
Congressman Gary Palmer coming up on the top of the program. Let's get Secretary of State John Merrill trying to kind of navigate through what he was forced. No excuse absentee voting before he was against it or something like that. And we're going to get some clarity on that. State Representative Mike Ball, he is carrying the medical marijuana bill in the House, but it's got to go through two committees in the House. We'll get him to get his reaction to that. And find the answer to every Wednesday Yellhammer News is Sean Ross.
Very good.
What an interesting time in Alabama politics. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you for having me on, guys.
Speaking of Yellhammer News, Jeff, a lot of his best work can be found there. Also Breitbart News and also Lanya. FM Talk 106.5.